I got to get my date night cards ready. I love date night. Allie hates it, but I love it.
I think it's the date that scares me.
I don't know.
Why? The date night. I think it's the cards.
Well, we have to practice for going on dates. That'll be the premise for the episode.
And I'm already sweating. Think about it.
All right, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. I'm Crystal, the hot widow of Eric. And with me tonight, I have Allie, the very hot widow of Ross.
Hey, guys.
Tonight, it's just us, just boring old Allie and Crystal. Maybe you don't think we're boring. I don't know. Allie's dreading this episode. She hates interviewing with just me.
I love talking to you. I mean, we talk for hours, just you and I. I think it's just, I don't feel like people want to hear me. So like, I get nervous that I'm talking too much. I don't know. It's, and then the whole date thing, like with the questions, it's not something that I feel comfortable with. That's all. But I'm doing it.
It's right. And it's perfect. So surprise, it's date night. So Allie and I are on a date. We decided last week we were just going to do Allie and I, and our my favorite thing to do is date night. So I told Allie we need to practice for when like someday we go out on dates.
You just saying that like makes me sweat.
So we're practicing, we're rehearsing for a date. So if anybody is out there and they're like, oh man, I wonder what Allie and Crystal like on a date, just know we've prepared and planned for that.
Yeah.
We're just as awkward on dates as we are behind the microphone, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh, so awkward. So we had talked a couple episodes ago about if you have any questions for us, we'll try to answer. And so I was posted on social media a video of us from our behind the scenes photo shoot from Omaha Magazine. And I was just dying laughing at just how awkward we are. But that's just, we're just normal gals.
Like, we are
moms from the Midwest.
We're so weird.
Who happen to be widows and best friends. And so, I don't know. We're just awkward.
We are. Yeah. I think that's what makes us unique.
Yeah.
This weekend, I was actually telling Body by Trey, I don't remember why we were on this topic. I was actually talking about dating something. And Trey's like, you don't think you could go on a date? And I said, oh my God, Trey, no. In real life, like if you meet me, I'm the most flirtatious person you'll ever meet. Allie, you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Like I will talk with anyone. I'll flirt with anyone. But if you get me next to someone I'm interested in, I clam up. I can't stop laughing. I'm a total weirdo. I should not be allowed to be around people that I'm interested in. It's really uncomfortable for me.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, well, no one's sexy enough out there for me. I mean, if you think you are, you could try, but I don't know.
Well, I guess if Crystal is awkward around you, then you know she likes you.
Oh, boy. Right? Yeah.
There you go.
That would be a telltale sign. If I'm super awkward, I'm probably into you. So anyways, before we start our date, I feel like we should talk about the weather because shocker, I'm wearing two shirts.
Yeah, it's cold.
Not happy about this, Nebraska. Two shirts.
It's not just cold. It's cloudy. It's rainy.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
It has a icky feel in it, like in the air right now.
Yeah. The seasons are changing.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Eric and I were in California and I came home for 2 weeks. I came home for the first 2 weeks, 1 week in October. I left him there because he was in the hospital and he came home to see the kids for a week. We were there for 8 weeks total. And it was such a beautiful like first week of October. And I remember thinking when I come home, it's going to be so gross and depressing in Nebraska because all the leaves will have fallen and it's just going to be ugly. But the leaves aren't really changing and they are starting just now starting to fall.
Yeah, they're really just starting.
Mm-hmm. So it feels like it's a little later this year than normal.
I think it is.
So Al, what do you got for updates for the audience?
So a year ago, we did a girls trip.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm very excited. I am going to Sedona with Jamie. So that is coming up. I'm very excited to just get out and be in nature. I've never been to Sedona. Super excited. I know we talked on here about going to Yosemite, but unfortunately that kind of fell through. So it's just Jamie and I, and we're staying at a resort, and I'll update everybody, but this resort has all these different healing, like things that you can sign up for. And so thank God Jamie's adventurous, but I was like, let's try something new. So we're going to be doing like meditation.
Oh boy.
We're going to be doing sound healing. Like there's like this sound thing that we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing, I don't even know if I'm going to say it right. Reiki.
I have no idea how to say that.
So yeah, it's going to be, I'm just excited to try something new. I'm excited to, I've heard Sedona is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
We're going to go mountain biking.
Nice.
Yeah. And the sunset, like we've kind of booked a bunch of things. And so anywho, more to come there. I'm just excited to get out and be in nature.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think I could sit through meditation. I don't think I have it in me. I just don't think I can sit there. My mind wouldn't stop.
Yeah, we're going to, I mean, that's why they're going to teach us how to do it, because I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, if you can come back and teach me how to meditate, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I mean,
it should be interesting.
I don't know. I have no idea how to meditate. Nope. I'm totally lying if I told you I did.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. That's why we're trying it.
Does sitting on your porch drinking coffee, like staring off into space, does that count as meditation?
You're asking the wrong girl. I don't.
Well, when you go there, find out and let me know.
I'll ask.
Hey, I have a question from my friend Crystal. She can't be here, but does this count?
I was telling Crystal after last week, I was like, I just want to help so many widows and widowers who are reaching out. We get so many people that reach out.
Yeah.
And it just tickles me. So I'm like, let's do some shout outs tonight.
All right.
Why not? This Why is not? Our podcast.
Shocker. You guys should see her face right now. She's smiling from ear to ear. So excited to say that. It's the cutest thing. So she's surprising me with this, which is totally fine. But she also this week was not happy that I was like, Allie, can we just do an episode with you and I just so we can talk? And she's like, Crystal, there's so many people I want to help. And I said, you can't help them all, baby. You can't do it all. So we just have to get on a schedule. So
we do.
We're trying to get that nailed down. And we should.
Yes, I want to help all of you.
Yes. She wants you all to be in this room with us right here, right now. And she really will hug you.
I would.
And if she knew how to meditate, she'd teach you how.
Well, I'm going to learn and maybe I'll come back and do a session.
And I'll play the fucking banjo behind her. So there's that.
You do your update and I will go through these.
I don't have any updates. Let's see. Did I talk about homecoming? That was great. I know I talked about her. Yeah, I talked about homecoming already. Oh my God, it's my birthday month. So that's exciting.
Yes. Little VO.
My sweet little VO.
Texted me maybe like 2 weeks ago. 2 or 3 weeks ago.
She's a planner, that one.
Yes. And she goes, Allie, can you take me shopping? I have some ideas for my mom's birthday. And I said, absolutely. I'm just so excited that she asked because I love her and I want to help her. And so for like 3 weeks, we have been going back and forth. I don't even think Crystal knows this.
No.
But we've been going back and forth. She's 12 and she's like, okay, I can do it Friday night. My mom's not going to be here. Or I can do it Sunday morning. Millie has a volleyball game. Like, so we've been going back and forth on trying to plan me picking her up when Crystal isn't there. Finally, I got it nailed down this weekend. And little VO goes, oh, and by the way, Benny has to come. I said, okay, no problem. So what do? I pick him up. Crystal's at Millie's game, volleyball game, and I got Gus and Hank, VO and Ben, and we go to Target.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And I am so excited for you to see what they picked out.
So V texts me and she's like, hey, I'm shopping with Allie and I got you an early birthday present and I put it on your bed.
She couldn't wait for one of them.
For one of them. She could not wait. And you know what it was? It was a chicken costume for Kevin, the dog. I can't wait. I should take a picture of Kevin in his chicken costume and put it on the podcast.
You should. Yeah. Violet was so excited about that costume. She picked it out.
Oh my gosh.
We just walked through.
It was hilarious.
We walked through Target and they were just like, oh, they would just come up with things. And that was one of them. And it was super, super cute.
Halloween's coming up. That's my favorite holiday. So let me see. In order of favorite holidays, I'd have to say like Halloween and 4th of July. They're pretty up there. Mm-hmm. In favorites. So I guess, can I have a winter and a summer favorite? I think I can. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
IDGAF. Okay. Halloween is my favorite winter holiday. And then Thanksgiving. You know why Thanksgiving?
Why?
No commitments. You have nothing, you have no requirements. You just show up and be with people you love and eat. That's it. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to buy a gift. You don't have to plan a game. You just show the fuck up and show people that you love them.
Do you eat the food?
Yeah.
You do?
I will tear it up.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Only on holidays.
Okay.
I mean, Thanksgiving is pretty whole. So there's not a lot of processed food.
Yeah.
The food I don't eat is processed, like stuff in packages.
Okay.
So you make a turkey, you peel your potatoes. I don't eat a lot of dairy. I don't actually believe in dairy. Sorry, dairy farmers. I mean, I believe in it. I know that it's a real thing, but I don't believe it has nutritional benefits for the human body. You guys, my diet is so bizarre. One time my friend looked at me and she goes, is this all worth it? Not drinking, not eating sugar, not eating dairy, all this stuff that you do. And I was really puzzled. And I was like, the next day I woke up and I'm like, I bet she feels like shit right now. And I'm feeling like $1 million. She probably didn't, but I dreamt that up. Anyways, it's worth it for me.
Whatever works.
Yeah. Whatever gets me through the day.
Mm-hmm.
The days are getting harder to get through right now, Al.
Why is that?
I think it's the darkness. I think it's getting dark earlier. It's colder. Like the looming winter is coming in. Trey used to call this cuffing season. He would say that people get into relationships this time of year because it's so gloomy. And he would say men get cuffed, so they have to stay strong. Like handcuffed.
I got it.
So it's like a real thing. Oh, I told you this last year, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Because I told you I got cuffed. Yes, that happened. Anyways,
poor
friends.
McLovin.
Oh, McLovin. Anyways, I got cuffed. But here we are, not getting cuffed this winter. At least as of right now.
Trying to find
probably because I'm so awkward. So Allie and I had posted today to ask us your questions about like, what do you want to know? What mm-hmm. can we answer? So we have some questions that some people have sent in that we need to answer.
Okay, what's the first question?
First question of the night. How have your experiences changed your perspectives on living life versus what's your perspective of how you lived your life before being a widow? So before I was a widow, what did I think living life was? That's so different now.
Yeah, that's a deep question. I think the biggest thing that I can think of is that I'm just more intentional on my relationships with people. Like they just mean so much more to me than they did before. And like, I feel less, I hate to say this, but I feel less like selfish. And it's not that I was selfish before, but I felt like I was just in my little unit, mm-hmm. you know, my family unit. And we were just doing our life. And now I see there's so much more to life than just being in my little family unit. Like I want to do bigger things. Like I want to do this. I want to help others. I have felt a tremendous amount of pain in this life and I want to do something good with it. I just want to show my kids that you can have a career. You can have friends and really put your life into your friends and your community. Mm-hmm. Like you can do it all. Like you don't just have to have an amazing relationship with your family. Like mm-hmm. you can have that, but you can also have a career and you can also do good things in the community. In the world. And I felt like before that I could really only do one of those things, mm-hmm. one or two at the most. But what I have learned is I can do so much more and everything is okay. I do feel like I have put myself completely aside. I've had to because I've had to raise these two little boys. But it also has made me change how I view the world in general, but also my relationships with people.
Okay.
And if I had to say anything, I would say that I'm just going to lay it out there. Take the trip. Take the trip with your friends. Just because you're married doesn't mean that you can't take your trip with your friends. Also, take the trip with your husband or your spouse. Like, do it. Like, work is not that important.
No, it's not.
Your kids are going to survive. Mm-hmm. They can go to grandma or you can get a sitter. And I realize that not everybody has the means to do these things. You can also drive places. Like, you don't have to make it extravagant.
Or just stay at home. Just get rid of the kids and stay at home. My perspective is completely different. This question came from someone who at one point was having a conversation and was talking about getting into it was not a disagreement or an argument or anything, but just was frustrated with something that her husband had done. And I just looked at her and I said, do you know what I would give to have one more fight with Eric? Like, I just appreciate this conversation that you're having. And I think that's the best way that I can put perspective into place now is appreciate all of those things that you have right now, because there are people out there who would kill to have what you have. In one way, life is so incredibly short. There is no time for you to wait. There is no time for you to not do what you want to do. So embrace it. If you don't feel like you're being challenged, find something to challenge you. If you're not changing, you're not growing. And it took this to realize how incredibly strong I really am. And I hate saying that to people, like, you're so strong. But when you have no choice but to be strong, you're strong. So guess what? All of you out there, you're all strong. So give your best side every day, because you're a lot stronger than you think you are. So don't be afraid to take that leap. If you're struggling with something, find the strength and power and do it. That's where I'm at today, is that I didn't have that before. Before, I just went through the motions. And I wish that I would have spent more time focusing on my strengths and building my relationship with my husband, with my kids. And, you know, I think now I'd look at everything. And like Allie said, you have so much more to do than what you're doing today. Mm-hmm. I never thought that I would be able to give back to my community as much as I'm giving back now. And there's nothing that feels better. But guess what? I always knew that I could do this and I wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. I've always been a servant mentality. I talked about last episode, like, I love being a wife because I love serving in that role. Like, I'm not a servant type of wife, but I do love taking care of people, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like with my community. I like to be able to take care of people, and doing this podcast after Eric passed away is like one of the greatest things I could have ever done. So perspective is so different today than it was when I was married. I was so selfish when I was married.
I love your answer. It's perfect.
Okay, next question. Do you feel the truth in the statement that people, friends and family, tend to believe that grief goes away over time or gets easier? If so, do you have a better explanation about how you cope with grief as time passes? So, first part of the question. Yes, I think everyone thinks that. And do you have a better explanation about how you cope with grief as time passes? First of all, grief stays with you forever, and it gets heavier in different ways and at different times and in different moments. Grief is a wave. It is an ocean for real. It literally is up and down and up and down. Even our widows who are 10, 15 years out still have waves of emotion at different times in different places. And I have a better explanation about how you cope with grief as time passes. Never stop talking about it. never stop talking about that one you love and accept that someone is going to be griefy. There are just days where I'm griefy and you have to accept that.
Yeah, I don't think that it goes away. Grief has not gone away. At least it hasn't for me. And from everybody I've talked to that has gone through something similar to this, it doesn't ever go away. It's almost like you have a broken heart. Like I have a broken heart. I can feel it in my chest. It's broken. But what I have noticed is that I've started to kind of tape it up with Band-Aids. There's two things that have helped me a little bit is helping others. Really noticed that helping others helps my heart. But also finding other people that I feel seen and I feel heard, like Crystal. So for me, again, this is just for me, this is such a hard thing to go through that a lot of people in my life that I absolutely love and I wouldn't trade them for the world do not understand. They can't relate or they don't know how to help me. So just being there for me has meant the world to me. But at the same time, meeting these other widows and meeting others that have gone through grief or like are grieving themselves, still grieving, it makes me feel less alone and also seen. Like I can relate to every single one of the widows, widowers that we've had on here, or just like Nurse Heather or, you know, Amy who lost her dad. I can find something in each of their stories where we connect. And that has helped me put Band-Aids on my heart. But what happens is that something big will happen. Like in a month from now, Gus is going to have his first reconciliation. And what I would not give to have Ross here. And so one of those Band-Aids is kind of peeling off. And like, I can feel that pain. Like I can feel it kind of seeping through, but I'll find something.
I think that is so important, Al. Don't you? To acknowledge that those big moments hurt every time. Next question. Do you feel like there is a distinct difference in the way women tend to wait a long time to date after they lose a spouse as to men tending to want to date sooner? Do you feel that the guilt of wanting to date hits men and women differently?
I don't think it's a man versus woman thing. I think it's everybody is just different. Honestly, I really do, because I know that there are men that haven't dated and have gone years and years and years. And I've known women that have dated within the first couple months. I just think it depends on the person.
I don't think I have a good answer for that, except for I think you're right. I think that everyone is different. Everyone handles it differently. Everyone does things differently. I don't know. I don't have a good answer on that. I think guilt is just a powerful thing in the widowhood journey, period, because you have guilt for, you know, am I making the right decisions? Am I doing the right things? You know, I used to carry a ton of guilt. I'm starting to not. I'm starting to shed some of that guilt because, like Allie mentioned last episode, like my kids have what they need. We're doing okay. We're in a good spot. I don't care about anything besides, like, are my kids good humans and are they doing well in school? Like, that's my gauge. Am I being a good human in what I do? Am I putting out good efforts, doing the right thing? And if those things hit, check the boxes, then I guess I'm okay. The rest of the struggles that I have, I just deal with. Okay, this is a good one for you, Al. What is something about your late spouse that makes you smile?
There's so many things. Whenever I think of or watch Husker football or hear people talk about Husker football, what makes me smile is that he would be so giddy. Like I can hear, I don't know if you know this, but he had a giggle. Like
I didn't.
And it was, if you were lucky enough to know this giggle, you would know that you're funny, because he would not giggle or laugh if he didn't think it was funny. Like, he just was not the type of person that would fake it. And mm-hmm. so if you heard his giggle, and he had one, he only giggled when it was like super, super funny. And it was the cutest thing ever. And only a handful of people know that giggle because you're funny.
He's funny, though. Rumor on the street is he was very funny.
He is very witty. The thing about Ross is he was so witty, so mm-hmm. incredibly smart, but he was ornery, like yeah. me. Like, Ross and I are very similar in that we can be ornery and, like, we like to kind of stir the pot, but, like, do it in a nice, funny way.
Mm-hmm.
And probably nicer than he was, but, like, he always got away with it because he was just charming. But anyways, what I was, the Husker thing is he would get so giddy. Mm-hmm. Like, I just loved how excited he got about it and mm-hmm. like just seeing his face light up. Honestly, I like that about anybody. I love it when people get excited about a certain topic yeah. and they get really into it. And I just, it makes me just light up when I see somebody talking about anything that they really like.
Yeah.
Like, you could be talking about lizards and just being so happy and excited about it, and it would make my day. That's one thing, because he would just light up. And again, something that we just talk about for hours about how to make our grass look better. Like, I just, it's something I miss. It is so silly.
I think it's great. It made me smile.
Yeah. Oh, it makes me smile. And I would give anything to talk to Ross about our boys. Like, I would give anything, because, again, it's something that you take for granted, is just being able to talk to your spouse about your kids, because there's no love like your parents, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And so I just would love to talk about mm-hmm. the boys to him.
What about his vest? Can we address that?
His vest?
Earlier I said, I'm going to show up in one of Ross, dress like Ross in one of his vests. So Allie and I were listening to music this weekend, and I looked over and I said, Allie, I don't know if I could ever date a man who wears vests. And Allie said, I don't know if I could either. But then she's like, but Ross used to wear vests, and he was so hot in his vest.
Yeah, he would wear them to, like, work.
Yeah. So thinking of Ross in his vest, does that make you smile? She's going to kill me later. I think for Eric, what makes me smile is every time I see our driveway, because he was anal about the driveway. And he hated our driveway, but he was very particular about it. So he always trimmed it up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And
the driveway?
The driveway. And he would always make sure that it was scooped for me. And so I would get up in the morning to go to the gym. We talked about this before, and he'd have the whole driveway scooped for me at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And so every time I pull into the house, I just smile, just thinking of him. And then I think of every time I get in the car, Eric had the most beautiful smile. He had these dimples, and Eric just showed how much he loved you through his smile.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time I get in the car, I have this picture of him smiling on my dash, and it just makes me smile. Even on my worst days, mm-hmm. I just see that and I smile. It just makes me happy.
Aww.
What else about him makes me smile? Every time I see those three kids,
yeah,
that makes me smile.
Yeah.
Huge. All right, next question. Do you feel like people know what to say to you about grieving? And what would you actually want to hear? If not, do they avoid the topic altogether? Is that uncomfortable, or would you rather not talk about it to acquaintances? That depends. It depends on where I'm at and what's going on. But if I bring it up, I want to talk about it. I mean, I know it makes some people really uncomfortable, but it doesn't have to. Like, just talk about it. Do people know what to say? No. They never know what to say. I don't even know what to say. To be honest, when my widow and widower friends are having a bad day, I don't even know what to say sometimes. So it's normal not to know what to say. But keep the conversation going. I think that's the best advice I can give. Don't change the topic. Keep it going and follow their lead.
Yeah, I think avoiding the topic is not the best idea, because I love talking. It helps me to talk about it, and it makes me feel comfortable talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's uncomfortable for a lot of people, but it makes me feel like you know, that you care or that you're trying to understand by talking about it. I want to feel the same way too. Like I don't want anybody to avoid talking about their heart, something difficult they're going through. Like I want to be open to all of that. And so I think sometimes people feel awkward or to ask questions, but I think if the person is starting to talk about it, you should just go with it and not change the subject.
Totally agree with you. Just keep it rolling. What made you really laugh the first time after losing your spouse? I can't remember. I have no idea.
I think where I really felt the real, true, like, laugh without feeling guilty or like it's the still the painful kind of laughs was the Zion trip last year. It's like the first time that I remember feeling good laughing.
Alive?
Mm-hmm. But like actually feeling good laughing. I don't know. Before that, I would laugh, but it didn't feel right.
I remember when, I'm assuming something happened here. It had to have, because it wouldn't be an event if I didn't. But I was so, obviously after Eric died, I was so dead inside. Like every part of me was dead. So I couldn't find joy in anything. So I don't think I was always the kindest because I just was aloof. And my friend who lives on the East Coast came home, and she came home for Eric's funeral. And I can't imagine what she would have said or done, but when I'm together with her and my other friends from high school, we always laugh so hard. And so I'm sure we were laughing over something ridiculous that Eric would have done. Probably something about the garage. Eric was obsessed with the garage. And we love to laugh at Eric, but I don't remember distinctly anything like laughing and feeling alive. I feel like I laugh and feel alive with you, but I don't know distinctly what it is, but I just feel like we laugh all the time together. Mm-hmm. Like deep down belly laughs. Like when we were talking about crying the other night, I was deep down, like just feeling a joyful laugh. I feel like I have those moments with you quite a bit just because you know the real me and you just get to me.
Sarah just asked, how many outfits did it take to get through those Omaha magazines?
How many outfit changes did it take to get me through Omaha magazine? I can't even begin to imagine.
Specific question, how big was the pile of clothes on your bed to land on these stunning outfits for the article?
Okay, so every time I go somewhere, every time I do something, it's called a fashion show. And so the girls have to come lay in my bed and we do what's called a fit check, or I send them to Allie and I FaceTime Allie and I'm like, what do you think about this? I must have tried on close to 30, 35 outfits for the Omaha magazine. And I probably decided definitively on 7 of them. And the one I showed up in was absolutely none of the options ever presented. But it is an event, let me tell you, an absolute event when I am dressing for my stuff. Every time I get dressed is an event. I had an event when we went out Friday night getting dressed. I come out and I'm like, Allie, oh my God, I look disgusting.
You didn't.
I felt it.
You didn't at all.
I just wasn't feeling like myself. I have a date night question for you. Okay. Are you sweating?
No.
Okay.
Warmed up.
This is perfect for you. What theme would you pick right now for your next birthday party?
Taylor Swift. Lover.
Are you going to be in town? Or are you going to leave town in May?
I'm guessing I'll be in town.
Okay. Taylor Swift birthday party it is. I'm not going to let you down. We're doing that.
Okay.
That's a great idea. All right, ask me a date nighter.
What are the best three movies?
Oh, that's kind of a tough one for me. Okay, Home Alone, Dazed and Confused, and Mean Girls.
Love it.
What would you choose? This is our practice for when we go on dates. Somebody will ask us these questions someday.
They will?
I don't know. I've never been on a date. I mean, I haven't since I was 20. I'm going to be a whole year older this year.
What do you want to do for your birthday?
I have no idea what I want to do for my birthday. I'm kind of bummed you're not going to be here that weekend, but that's on me, not you. My actual birthday, I don't know. I'd love to hang out with you. I have no plans. I actually kept it completely open. Maybe you and the boys could come over. I think we should do karaoke at Jake's.
Okay.
I feel like that just was so fun. I had such a great time that night.
Yeah, we should do karaoke. That would be a lot of fun.
I just like people watching at Jake's. It's great. Okay. What about the movies? What'd you decide on that?
I love 80s movies.
Yeah, get it.
I love rom-coms too. Like, I think my mom really got me into Molly Ringwald. Okay. So I love all of her 80s movies, but like 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, like those are always like movies that I can just watch over and over and over.
Yeah.
So I'd probably go with those.
I love 16 Candles.
I love 16 Candles.
Absolutely one of my favorites. It's one of my favorite lines that I say all the time when I say, who's going to marry you, Mr. T? I forgot Uncle Buck. That's also one of my favorites. Oh my gosh,
I love Uncle Buck.
Me too.
That's so funny.
Okay, I found a good date night card in here. Okay. And this one is one that we have to do, okay? So I'm going to ask you and you get to ask me and then we have to do it. You have to go first though, because you're braver than me. What new activity would you like the two of us to try together? I'm not doing meditation.
Okay, two things come to mind. I really want to learn how to play pickleball.
Okay.
So we could do that together.
Okay.
If you want to learn.
Okay.
Because I do. And then I am kind of thinking about doing like an improv class.
Okay. I'll do either. Those sound great. You should choose one. We should do one in first quarter and one in second quarter.
The improv would be so out of my comfort zone. I mean, I can't even sit in this room and do questions. But I am so open to just trying new things.
If you're not challenging yourself, you're not changing.
Mm-hmm. And that is, to wrap it all around, that is my new perspective in life, is I just want to keep growing and learning. Yeah. And doing new things.
Improv is so out of my comfort zone too.
Mm-hmm.
It is easy for me to sit here with you, but Allie knows more than anything. Like it, I sound like I'm very outgoing and very vibrant, mm-hmm. but when it comes down to it, I really do get very shy and very reclusive. And like, if I don't know people, I don't like to be out there around people. Mm-hmm. Like I can be very shy. Okay. For me, I would like to, for us to try a cooking class.
Okay.
Are you in?
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay.
I'm down.
We should put a whole.
We get to eat what we make?
Yeah, a whole calendar together of things that we're going to do for next year.
These would be good Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I always feel like buying people you know, things to do together is so much more, it's just so much better than things.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
Experiences.
I'm so down for everything that you talked about. Pickleball, improv, which does remind me of Michael Scott on The Office.
I know. That is my favorite show, if you didn't know.
Okay, your turn. Just grab a random one and ask me. I'll answer anything you ask.
If you could buy any car in the world, what would it be?
2014 Toyota Highlander. I love my car.
Who is your favorite comedian right now?
Matt Rife. Y'all know why.
That rhymed.
Okay.
Why don't you share with the audience how you met Eric? Because I think this story is so cute and I feel like you should share it.
Okay. I've never shared it before?
No.
You don't think so? Okay. So I was very happy in college, just living my best life. I had been at work. My sister, who's just stunningly beautiful and always in a relationship, always in a relationship, had just gotten out of a relationship. And so she was on the prowl for a new relationship. And so she needed a wingman. And if I'm anything, I'm an excellent wingman because I'll talk to anybody as long as I'm not interested in them because I can talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And so she had drugged me and my friend Trish out for the night to go be her wingman. And so we go out and we're sitting at a bar and in walks Eric and some of his friends. And my sister had just, I mean, she's just, men are just drawn to her. And so she starts talking to them and I made eye contact with Eric and I was just chatting like, hey, aren't you guys going to go dance? You know, can't wait to hang out with you guys later. So fun seeing you guys here. And then just going back to whatever I was doing, not paying any attention to them. And then by the time we left that bar, I had had a lot more to drink than I should have. I was 22 maybe. And I ended up being really drunk by the time Eric is leaving and I see him and, you know, he's so tall. I just yelled. I was like, hey, big boy, I thought we were going to dance later. And he just looks back at me and he's like, hey, maybe another time. And I was like, okay, bye. So then I was done with him. I had no interest in him, whatever, at that moment. And so we decided to go to a bar in Omaha called The Underground, which is a bar that's underneath of a restaurant. And I walk in and I grabbed a drink and I turned around and there's Eric sitting in a chair staring at me. And I just ran over to him, jumped on his lap, and I shoved my tongue down his throat.
Oh my God.
And then we were married. And that's how that happened. And Eric was such a gentleman. He was so sweet. And he completely, you know, he knew I'd had too much to drink and was extremely respectful of me and just the kindest man. That was a Friday night. He called me on Sunday. He's like, I know I'm supposed to wait 3 days, but I couldn't wait to talk to you. And we were just inseparable from that moment forward.
I love that.
Yeah, I do. I love my story of meeting Eric. It's totally me and Eric.
So cute.
All right. What's your question?
What subject do you love today that you hated when you were in school?
Math. Although when my kids have problems with math, I tell them to call their dad. It's our ongoing joke. They'll be like, Mom, can you help me with this math problem? And I say, nope, you are going to have to call your dad.
Aw.
Okay. What do you like most about yourself? This is a tough question for you to answer because you're selfless.
I don't like to talk about myself.
I know you don't. What? She's so selfless. As soon as I read the question, I knew that she wouldn't be able to answer it. Yeah, let's ask you to think inside a little bit. What do you like most about yourself? You're a really special woman. Really, really special. What do you like most about yourself? I can list off 10 things I love about you.
I guess I love that I have a big heart, even though I feel like it's easy to get broken. But I'm glad that I have so much love to give instead of feeling like I don't have love to give.
I do love that about you.
Yeah, I feel like I probably need to protect it more because I am realizing how much, you know, how vulnerable I can be. And I just don't want anybody to take advantage of that because I think that that could easily happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's scary about dating. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it will happen, but you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
I do. But I also know that you have the most special heart in the world and that anybody would be extremely lucky to be able to be let into your heart because of the way you do love. and the way that you care and the way that you treat people. You're really special.
Thank you.
All right, Al, any other burning questions for the Hot Widows Club podcast tonight?
I never got to my shout outs, but we'll do
it. Yeah, let's do some shout outs. Let's hear them. What do we got? Fire away, baby.
Okay, maybe this is a question for you, actually.
Okay.
There was a gal that posted it on our social media, and I can't find it right now.
Okay.
But she talked about having numbers as signs. Like, there's a certain number that will pop up, and that's like her sign for her loved one.
Mm.
Have you ever had a number associated with Eric?
Mm-mm.
And so, like, when you see it, you think of him?
No, I haven't. Do you?
Whenever I see the 1111 on the, like, the time, I always think of Ross.
That's cute.
Yeah. So I didn't know. So anyways, numbers can be signs too.
Yeah.
I wish I could find the post, but this gal said that I think it's 87, if I can remember right, that 87 always comes up when they're thinking of their loved one.
87.
And I just thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, I agree. I have a shout out to our fans of the Hot Widows Club podcast. We have had a lot of people sharing with us recently about how they want a relationship or a friendship like what Allie and I have. And we want you all to know that we're all connected to all of you. And while we may not have had a chance to connect yet, we are thinking of you. You're in our hearts, and we want you to be a part of our tribe. And so thank you guys for listening to us and welcoming us into your lives every other week, because we do this for you. And without these comments that we're actually making a difference in someone's life, we wouldn't do what we do, because it is so hard to do this. And we love showing up every other week for you guys.
Yes. Everything Crystal said was perfect. And I just hope that we can have as many of you on as possible, because sharing your story is so healing in itself, but also you're helping others by sharing your story. And so I hope that you guys continue to listen and know that you're not alone.
And we love all you guys who are listening every day. So please, please, please keep supporting the Hot Widows Club podcast and sharing this with those who need it and those who might not need it either. It's just fun to listen to us, I hope. All right, guys, signing off from the Hot Widows Club podcast. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.